Tonight, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me in 2 Kings in chapter 2, we'll feast our soul a while here tonight. 2 Kings in chapter 2. So God is great. God is so great. So shall we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the message? Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, your Word is quick and sharp and powerful. Lord, we thank you for the Scriptures. And God, we'd ask your blessing, Lord, on the Word tonight that it find root and lodging deep in our hearts. Lord, we benefit by your Word and by your message. And God, we're going to give you the praise and honor and the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we're in 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're talking about Elijah tonight. Talking about Elijah. And that young man Elijah. So let's begin reading it. 2 Kings 2:1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went on to Bethel. Well, we can look to see that surely there's a message that's quick to unfold in this. And it started out very well at telling us the real crux of the story down right in the very first verse. The day wherein the Lord would take Elijah to heaven. The day the Lord would take him to heaven. Well, that's what he speaks of. Take him to heaven by a whirlwind. Some people think they live in a whirlwind here in the world. What would it be like to go to heaven in a whirlwind, huh? To be taken up. Well, Elijah was somebody, as I have said to you previously, somebody who was very close to the heart of God. A man whose heart was deeply involved in the work of God. A man who put his whole heart there. And if you looked at Elijah and you looked at his life and what he was doing, it wouldn't be hard to know. Here's a man who puts his whole heart into it. Puts his whole life right into what is. It's like he just steps aside from where he was and gets right in the Lord and goes to do his work. So his heart is a heart that's really after God. But he's done his work on the earth. When your work is done, you like to go home, don't you? You work today, and you went home tonight. Well, when our work for the Lord is done, one of these days it will be, we'll want to go home, won't we? Some folks say, oh, I want to stay here as long as I can. We'll want to go home and be with the Lord. The idea that I just conveyed to you of his heart and his being so deeply involved in the Lord as to say, you could tell how he felt when he had these deep feelings when Israel had turned aside after Baal. Well, he's finished his course. He's really stood for God in his life, and that's what we want to bear in our mind. We want to finish the course. I don't want to leave short of the work being done. Do you? I don't want to go with just done half of the work that God wanted me to do. So our whole idea should be that we want to get into it, put our whole heart into it, so that we don't only start the work, but that we finish it. That the work he wants us to accomplish would be finished. And when your work is finished, there's really little object to stay here as far as life is concerned, except your family's going to hold on you until you can't get another breath, you know. But Here's a man now, he's ready to go. So it said, and the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thee, from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, I'm also glad to interject in the message the sons of the prophets. Now, these, they're very well called the sons of the prophets. But it was a school where actually they were. The school of the sons of the prophets, and they now were getting into spiritual things. And here you can see that God clued them in. He didn't leave them out. He didn't leave them to just wait till someday when all the others are dead, then God will start using you. No, God wanted them to know. So it's saying it to us here, you know, that the sons of the prophets now would say to him, well, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Well, do you know that? Well, yes, I know that. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now you see, there's young Elijah, and he's not going to let Elijah out of his sight. He's not going to let it be that when his master went up in the whirlwind to heaven, that he wasn't going to be there. So all the things that were said to Elijah could have very well put him in a situation to where he might have stopped and waited and said, I shouldn't go any farther. But then in his heart, he was a faithful servant. And he was going to stick with his master no matter what was said. As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, hey, I will not leave you. So he stuck right there. Now, it happens more than once. And the sons of the prophets were at Jericho, came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, it's unique, these young men. They have the mind of God. Hey, the Lord is dealing with them. He's speaking through them. He's showing them things. Isn't that nice? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Hey, shouldn't there be a time in your life when God starts to show you a few things? Does he show you something? I mean something besides go out for dinner. I mean, does he show you something? Does he give you spiritual things? Does he make you to know? Does he help you to understand, to get things for yourself? Well, if you're going to follow on in the work of the Lord as they were going to follow on, you'd surely want to come to this place. So they understood and it was known. And so all along the journey, they know that something is about to happen. And they know what it is. Elijah is going to be taken away from us today. Well, thank God. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. So again, he had his opportunity to stay there, not to go on down to Jordan. Hey, he would miss it. Now, hey, this was surely not the time to miss it. You don't want things to happen, and then you're not there. If the Lord opened blind eyes some night and you weren't here, and you'd go home and bawl like a baby and say, well, my, well. And whose fault would it be? God should wait till the night you were there. Is that it? If somebody was real sick, well, you wouldn't want them to wait and die till you get there. So we recognize the importance of being in the know, that God would let us know. And I think if something is real important to us, God will have some way to let us know. Something you need to really know, God will have some way to let you know. There will be some way he'll make you to know. He's not one to leave us in the dark. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Now, here's where old Jordan gets some of its glory of its name and of it as a river. Some of the spiritual things that happened at Jordan. Well, here's one of those spiritual things that happened at Jordan. We could look at this one and we could look at other spiritual things that happened at Jordan. So, here's 50 men of the sons of the prophets. Now, they've gone to stand far off and look, and they're looking to see if they can see what happens. Eager to know. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. Now that's a spiritual act, isn't it? I mean, that's a manifestation of the power of God to accommodate two men to get across the river. Somebody said, why didn't you wade? You don't have to wade. Oh, why didn't you take a boat? Well, there was no boat there. God always makes the way. So looking at the example of the power of God. Now, how God would manifest his power just to the advantage here of these two men to go right across. Surely leaving a record to let us know of the power that was in Elijah's life. That just bringing his mantle, taking his, like taking your jacket up and rolling it up and bringing it down over the water and smite the waters. And suddenly Jordan's waters cut off and hey, it's piling up here and running down there and my, they can go right across. They don't have to wade nor they don't have to swim. And they're on the other side. So easy. Manifestations of the power of God in a prophet's life. Well, I think there's got to be some manifestations of God along through your life and your ministry that as far as you're concerned, you're well satisfied that God has done some wonderful things at your hand. So there's a wonderful thing. There's a miracle. Is it an everyday miracle? Maybe to Elijah it was an everyday miracle. But it was a miracle. A miracle of God. And it came to pass as they went, as they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, here's really what you can say. An old prophet now ready to go to heaven. And a new prophet ready to surely jump right in and to follow on and carry the anointing of God. So, clear enough now. Elijah is about ready to go and he's asked this one thing. Spoke this one thing to Elijah to say, well, what would you ask me for before you go? Is there something you want God to do for you? You want me to pray for you? What would you have me to do? Well, that's a good question. We wouldn't normally think it's the thing we'd ask another man. We'd normally think it's something we might ask God. God, give me something, but ask. Ask what I shall do for thee. So he spoke up and he made clear what it was he would really want. He would want a double portion of thy spirit. Now, I think that a young man looking at Elijah's life and saying, I want twice what you have, or a double portion of what you have, would seem, my, what is this, maybe you're proud or something, you know, lift it up. But it isn't a matter of that. It's a deep feeling now in a young man's heart. And maybe he saw a lot of times too in even Elijah's life when it would seem that maybe there could have been a whole lot more power, a whole lot more of what it would take along the journey. Maybe we see that sometimes in ourselves. We're wanting to pray, we're wanting to move a mountain, or we're wanting to do something. But we all know this. What can we do without him? Without me, you can do nothing. And with the Lord, we can do a lot of things, but without Him we can do nothing. So we want to have God's blessing. So give me a double portion of your Spirit. Let it be upon me. Now, it goes on in verse 10, and He said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Elijah, listening to him, said, Hey, you've asked me for a hard thing. You've asked me for a hard thing. In other words, what can Elijah do to give it to him? There's nothing Elijah can do to put it in his hands. And so he wanted a double portion of the Spirit that he had. So he's asked now for something that Elijah said, it's a hard thing you're asking for. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go. Nevertheless, if you see me when I go. When I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. So he's kind of left a little out there, hasn't he? Give God a little out now. Where if God doesn't want to do that, if that's not God's purpose to do it, then he just won't see me go. Well, I think he's going to see him. I think he's sincere. I think he's a sincere young man, man of God. I believe God called him out. And God called him to be in the room of Elijah that he might learn and he might learn his ways, because God had a need of another real great prophet. God had a need of another miracle worker, someone else who would stand in the gap. And so God is ready to do something. And he wants him to be ready. So now it said, and it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Wouldn't that be a great way to go home? And he went up by a whirlwind on this fiery chariot now. Chariot of fire. Horses of fire here, you know. Not ordinary. This wouldn't be like you would normally see a chariot. But this chariot was going to carry this prophet upward to heaven. I don't know anybody else that ever went to heaven in a chariot, flaming chariot. Do you? Don't know anybody else. I don't know anybody else that really was successful to get a real double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. But Elijah did. If it's for you, God will give it to you. If it's for you, God will work it for you. And it was for Elijah that God would take him up into heaven in this flaming chariot. So we got to think then, God surely wanted him to go. And it's not a normal thing that we're looking. We're not looking at an everyday thing. I don't know anybody else in the Bible who went up in a chariot to heaven, do you? Maybe some folks went up in a whole different way than we know. But that's God's blessing upon Elijah. And Elijah saw it. Oh my. He what? He saw it. Now wasn't that the key? If you see me when I go. And he saw it. If you see me when I go, then this double portion is going to be yours. I think of this double portion, something that we should think about. Because basically we have a double portion. And our experience, you know, is one of salvation. And my, what a blessing that brings into a man's life. My, it brings you to the realm of having everlasting life and all. But we think of a double portion. When God filled us with the Holy Ghost. Now, could we get along without it? Well, if you can't get along without being filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a lot of Christians in trouble. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians are just absolutely in trouble, because then they wouldn't be there. Well, I'm not preaching to you that you couldn't go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not to say you couldn't. I mean, in that realm. But yet, I could find you places in the Scripture that would make you feel, you know, the real old heat if you really preach them, like it was, you know, with the 10 virgins, and 5 were foolish, and they weren't ready, and they didn't go in. Well, we wouldn't want to be in that realm. But I surely would preach to everybody. Everybody should want the Holy Ghost. Everybody should want this baptism of the Holy Spirit, shouldn't they? Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? One thing you just bear in your mind every day, it's for you. It's a gift for you. And if you don't have it yet, don't give up. Don't get discouraged, but keep praying. Don't let a day pass that you don't take time to pray and ask for it. Pray and seek God. Just believe God. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, doesn't He? So what is young Elijah going to do? He saw it and he cried, "My Father, my Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Oh my, what did he see and what did he say, huh? So he's really feeling something here now. And so, my Father, the chariot of Israel. Is this Jacob's chariot? I mean, the chariot of Israel. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and rent him in 2 pieces. So he's about to get blessed, but he's ripping his clothes off. He's just ripping them from one end to the other. Well, that was another kind of a common thing in Israel. Hey, you rent your clothes. Rent meaning to tear them. Just kind of tear them, you know. I don't know what you gain by tearing your clothes, but it was commonly done. So I'm not going to try that tonight to see what I can get by tearing my clothes, are you? But if tearing your clothes would get you a greater blessing from God, I'd rip them right now. Amen? I'd rip them right now. I'd just tear them right now. If that's going to bring you something from God. Now, surely it was more than tearing his clothes that would bring him this blessing. If he would see Elijah when he went, then he knew he would have it, and he saw him. So now, maybe he's doubly excited. He sees his master going up in a flaming chariot to heaven. That chariot came right down beside him. Hey, they were walking together and it came right down and, hey, you know, I kind of moved them one way and came right between them and Elijah jumped right in. It's too bad Elijah couldn't have got on too. It wasn't his time, was it? He asked for a double portion. He didn't need a double portion to go to heaven. He surely may need a double portion to go and follow in the footsteps of Elijah, go out and do the works that God was going to lead him to do. And to work the works that God was going to give him, the miracles that God was going to want him to perform along the journey, well, surely then he would want all this blessing, but he's got to stay here to do that. So there's a thing that appears here, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. So his mantle is just figurative of a whole lot of other things. With Moses, it was the rod of God. Now, if you're going to have a rod, get one like this. Not a hot rod, but get the rod of God. It was a rod that God gave to Moses, and with that rod, God worked miracles in the life of Moses. It was a rod he held out over the sea, wasn't it? It was that rod. Surely there were many things that was done with that rod. And they just rightfully called it the rod of God. So he carried that rod for a long time. It was used in the power of God and the manifestations of the power of God. So God would use things, wouldn't he? Is there any power in a rod? The power wasn't in the stick. The power was in the man who used it because he believed then that this is what God gave him as a manifestation of his power. So he gave the rod to Moses, and it just became called the rod of God. Sounds good. So we have a mantle. So it's like something you might wear over your shoulder, something you might wear as a light jacket, or somehow it was something that was an object of clothing. And he had this, old Elijah, and he carried it with him. Now, with his mantle, which was like Moses' rod, he used that. And you saw how he used it. He smote the waters with it, and the waters parted, and they walked across on dry land. So the use of that, it wasn't the mantle that did it. It wasn't the rod that did it. It was God that did it. Can you say amen? It was something God gave them to use. It was an object of faith. Now, don't we use things? Sometimes you come down here for prayer and, my, it seems like such a little thing. Maybe we should have something as big as a glass and pour a little right on your head. But somebody said we anoint with oil. Well, the Bible says if we had anoint with oil and pray a prayer of faith, the Lord would heal the sick and raise them up. We have given to us our hands. And he said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So we have our hands and we lay hands upon people to receive the Holy Ghost. And many things we lay hands on for. And so we realize we use things. Other people use different things sometimes than we do. To what effect? I'm not to judge. The Catholics use holy water. They sprinkle it on everything, you know. So we find that probably other people do different things. So we want to bear up in our minds there are those things. They're very scriptural, and we don't mind using them. God never led me to get a mantle. He never led me to get a rod, but he sure led me to lay hands on the sick. Sure led me many times to anoint with oil. And God gives many, many opportunities to us to use the blessing of his anointing. So here now, a young man has got not only his mantle, but now this is not just a mantle. He's got Elijah's mantle. That's different now, isn't it? Huh? He's going to pick this up and head over the river, and all these other young prophets over here now. Elijah's probably quite close to all these young prophets, you know what I mean? Being one himself. And he's not only going to go over there, but he's got Elijah's mantle. Now, somebody said, boy, what a trophy that is. If you had Elijah's mantle hanging right up here, oh, wouldn't everybody look at that? If you had a few canes and a few crutches and a wheelchair or something else, I'd say, well, boy, look at the trophies here. Well, I wouldn't call all of those trophies. Think about Elijah's mantle for the moment, huh? With this mantle, he worked miracles. His miracles. The miracles that God gave him. Now, will Elijah keep this? Will he hang it on the wall? What will he do with this? Well, first thing I think he's going to have to do is what, you know, like David did when Saul gave him his suit of armor and was going to let him go ahead and go out there and slay the giant with Saul's armor on. Hey, you got to what? You got to prove it. And David simply said, I can't go out with this. My, I couldn't go. Well, I haven't proved this. And so he took all the armor off, and he went out without any armor. He just went out with the whole armor of God, you know, went out the right way. And he went out there with his little sling. Now think of a little sling. Think of that as a weapon. Think of that as a weapon of war. Think of it now as a giant killer. I mean, think of this little weapon. My, when we were kids, we liked to play with a slingshot. Why? It was nice to shoot at the robins. If you hit one on boy, you really thought you did something. My granddad used to like to shoot him with his 10-gauge shotgun. And boy, he could just about clear the yard out there, you know, and that thing just went off with two barrels and knocked my grandfather for a loop. But we think about what people use and what we might use and what would God put something in your hand someday. So there's a man. He's got Elijah's mantle. He's got Elijah's mantle. And what is he going to do with it? Got to follow that now, don't we? What's he going to do with that mantle? He knows what to do. He saw it on the way over. Now, I think a question would come up. Did I really get it? And if I really got it, how will it work? Did I really get now what he said I would get? He said if I saw him when he went, that I would get that double portion. So with this double portion, he picks up that now to head across the river. And we could just see, well, he just really had to take it to heart now and know what to do. So he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. There he is now. You see, he's tempted now to do something, isn't he? He's gone back. He's got Elijah's mantle. And somebody said, I just know about the first thing he's going to do. He's going to try to use that mantle. So if you picked up Elijah's mantle, would you try it? Huh? Would you try it? Would you think, well, I know I couldn't use that. Would you just have a little bit of faith and say, well, hey, I've seen this used many times. Now it's time for me to use it. So he's going to just try it and see what happens. And so it said in verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the water, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Now look at that transformation in a man's life. Look at the man being called up now to a great calling of God. Look to something now just be put in his hand and have the faith to just take a hold of it and use it. Now, to see his master go, hey, I don't think he enjoyed that. As to say that he wouldn't be with him anymore. But at the same time, to have now this experience with God, that God would begin this very day to use his life. That God hadn't lost his prophet, he just changed. He just put the mantle in someone else's hand. And there'll always be a mantle falling somewhere. There'll always be someone come to the end of his day. There's always going to be someone who's going to just have to say, hey, this is it. Hey, God is ready to take me up. Or whatever. And well, we recognize that God's going to always have somebody else ready, isn't he? Wouldn't you think he would have somebody ready? Well, would you be ready for something? I believe in God's time and God's way. God surely would want all of us to be ready to take up and go. But it's nice to step kind of into somebody's shoes. But then bear in mind, they might not fit you. They might be a whole lot bigger than your feet. They might be a whole lot bigger than your feet. You may not feel comfortable wearing Elijah's shoes, but then he's going to try out this mantle. He tried it once, and it worked the first time, didn't it? It wasn't only the first time he did it, but it worked the first time he put forth his effort to do it. So we could see now that God began that day, and what we saw then is the first real miracle of Elijah. Now, the first real miracle of Elijah was like the last real miracle of Elijah. Elijah took him over, and he came back alone the same way. Now, I'm sure this would be good talk. This would be good thoughts or feelings from the sons of the prophets now who've been standing over there a ways watching to see if they could see what happened. They were eager to see that chariot of fire. See what was going to take place. They wanted to know. But then, I think tonight that the illustration is clear enough that all of us has got to get a hold of it somewhere, don't we? Everybody's got to get a hold of it somewhere if they're going to work and labor in the Lord. There's just got to be a day, and kind of think of it like this. There is a day, and there's a day that will eventually come. You wait for that day. You don't run ahead of God. Just wait for that day. Just know in God's time, In God's time is not your time. In God's time, it's when God is ready. When God is ready, just rest assured that that's going to come. God will bring to pass the counsel of His will. And all of us should want God's blessing to fall upon our life. I just would want you to know it's a pleasure to be in God's service. It's always a pleasure to be in God's service. It's a joy. And it can be such a joy throughout all your life working and laboring in the vineyard of the Lord. It's a joy. It's a pleasant thing. It's not a drudgery. It's not a discouraging thing. It's a great thing. It's a blessing. But we want to be ready. And I could say to you again and again to be ready. Elijah was ready that day. Elijah was ready that day. His training was finished there, you know, to say that day. He was ready. When old Elijah would be taken away, he was ready to pick up his mantle and go on. He was ready. So God had him prepared. And walking then the time that he walked along with Elijah was a pretty important thing. So there you see now being ready. As God has told you, you ought to be ready. You know, God has many things to give. And God will give them to people that are ready. Sometimes we wouldn't want to think that God would leave us set and pass us by. If God's going to leave you set and pass you by, it's because you showed Him no interest in the things that He was doing or giving. You show God you're interested in His work. You're interested in the things of the Spirit. You're interested in these things, and it's shown in your prayer and in the giving of your heart to the Lord and the manifestation of many prayers to God. Surely, God can have you ready. God can have you ready for that day so that things shouldn't fall short. Now, I think this is perfect timing with God. Just perfect timing. Elijah went up, and Elijah went down the road to do the work that was called. One left. Hey, he replaced him. He took up his mantle and replaced him. He was ready. So be ready. Hey, that's important. And be ready. Don't let it fail you. Now, you may not always see it, but it's nevertheless a necessary thing. We need to be praying earnestly. We need to pray earnestly. Your prayer life ought to be real fruitful right now. This is a time that many of you ought to really be preparing your heart and seeking the Lord with all your heart and putting a lot more into it than what you're putting into it. Hey, we can be satisfied in giving the Lord a little. We can be satisfied in giving the Lord a little time. But listen, if we want the things that God has got for us, then let's us prove ourselves out to Him. Let's walk with God. Let's press in prayer and supplication. Hey, let's get the mind of the Spirit so we can get in it and flow. You know what the Lord is talking about. We got to have the mind of the Spirit. And we got to get in the flow for revival. We got to get into that. We got to have that in us. We've got to have that down deep in us. That we're into that. Hey, this is the way God's going to move. We're going to be ready to move with Him. We're going to be ready, prayed up, ready, gifted, anointed, ready to do whatever God has given us to do. So it leaves us in that place where we could sit by and look at this and wait. And are we going to wait until the day that God needs us? And we say, well, God, I'm going to get up and start getting prepared. The time to get prepared was a long time ago. God spoke to you a long time ago. He wanted you to prepare your hearts to receive those things. Now, if you prepared your heart to receive those things, you'll receive them. And if you didn't prepare your heart to receive it, then you're going to have to start out from scratch and say, how can I get into it now? Time surely can pass by, but it can also kind of leave us high and dry. So tonight, we should want some of that old-time power and blessing. But God said we should prepare our hearts for what He had for us. Prepare our hearts. Got to get into that now. Surrender up into that. That's got to be there. That ought to be a motivator to your heart. God told me to be ready. Hey, here's young Elijah, and he's not told here to be ready. He's ready. He's ready. And there he is parting the water that day. He's ready, isn't he? He's ready. He's ready for the revival. He's ready for what God gave him. He's ready to go and do as the Spirit of God leads him. And Elijah was a man of God. He sure talked with God and he sure heard from God. And we just brought the story to light there just the other night now about Elijah when he was shut up in Samaria. How he had spoken right there in the midst of that hard thing, them being shut in, the people starving and killing their kids and eating them and whatever they were doing. And yet he prophesied that by this time tomorrow, there'll be flour and fine flour, barley flour. It'll be down in the gate for peanuts. There would be all that food. Was he ready? Was he ready? You got to understand, being ready is to be fully prepared to step out. That's what getting ready is about. You're not going to get it on one day, are you? But listen, be prepared. Let your heart be open to God. Let the cry of your heart go up to God every day. Let it go up there to God. Let it go. God, I want, Lord, you to use me now. And start praying for God. Start praying about the gifts of God. Start calling on God about it. Hey, he says, seek my face. Seek what? Seek his face. In other words, come to God. Look to God to give and to bring things into your life. That's going to be a benefit to the kingdom. So I thank God tonight. Now there's old Elijah, and he's gone across the water all by himself. He's on his way, isn't he? Now isn't it amazing how long that took? He's got a double portion. He's got a double portion. I never sit down to figure this out, you know, myself. But they say Elijah worked, again, as many miracles recorded that Elijah did than Elijah. Now that doesn't necessarily prove out to say that that's true, that he worked more. But I never took the time to count it up, but somebody did one time. But then I never checked him out to see was he really right. But what would be the difference? He had a double what? A double portion of what Elijah had. Then if that be true, then it is true. I would expect that there was going to be some great things done as a result of it. So we look then to see, this is the way things, as God does, God can put together, and how he can make things abound, and how God really could work. But couldn't he get a hold of people? Couldn't he get a hold of you? Do you really want him to? Would you stand still for him? Would you get down before him to cry out to him more? Would you lay your life down? Would you offer yourself, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, completely a living sacrifice unto God, that you'd want to be holy, truly separated unto God, truly in this realm? Oh, to give ourselves so completely to God. Are you ready to give God the rest of your life? Are you ready to say, God, you can have the rest of my life. You can have me all that you want, all of my life. Lord, what time I have left to live, I want to live it for you. Why shouldn't we be ready to give it to him? Why shouldn't we let him know, Lord, I'm yours till the day I drop. Lord, I'm yours until the day you're ready to take me up. I'm ready. Elijah worked till the day he was ready to go. He was there that day, and there he's ready to go. He laid his mantle down on the way up. He chopped it back. Tonight, let's be ready. That's what we should talk about. Let's be ready for this revival. Let's be ready for this anointing to get a hold. Let's be ready for God to use us in a greater way. Let's lay down more of our life for him. Let's just take Romans 12, 1 and 2 and read it once in a while just in prayer. But I don't think it's wrong to offer him the rest of your life. You know what might happen? He may take you up. He may take you up. He may hear what you say and keep you busy the rest of your life in his service. Thank God for his call tonight. The call of God is a great thing, is it not? The call of God on your life is a great thing. I don't care who it is it's called. Faithful is he who calleth, who will also do it. God not only calls us as to the work and service of God, but he's in us to do it. He's in us to do it through us. He's there to work it out for us. He's there now every day to perform that which is needed to fulfill that call. So I want you to think in your hearts that you being ready is an important step for you. It's buy now and what? Pay later. It's buy now and pray later. Hey, we need to pray now and receive later when we're ready, huh? Oh, let's give God that opportunity. Our life, what is our life? Didn't Jesus give his for you? He laid down his life for you. Well, tonight, let's be glad in the depths of our heart that surely the Lord is going to do a work in this last day. And I don't think that work is going to be so far down the road. If you had prayed about this as much as I prayed about this revival, I believe this with all my heart. God put this in my heart. I think about this every day. I come to this house here to pray in the morning. I come here to pray. You know what's on my mind when I walk in that door? I don't bring it up right away. I start praying. I start praising the Lord. I start glorifying the Lord. I start, you know, exalting the Lord for the great things he's done for us. But we should come to that place where we come to his house, you know, with praise and thanksgiving. But how much more we ought to get right down to the issues that are at the heart of God. What is God thinking about here in the days of this falling away at the end of the age? What is God thinking about? Do you think he has a great stir of move in his heart? You think he's not going to reach his arm out again to harvest? You think he's not going to do the things that he said? Boy, how we ought to have that faith. I told you many times, one of these days you want to know where God's working, just look where he said he would, and that's where he'll be. He'll be right there doing what he said he would do. I know deep in my heart, God is what? God is faithful. Above what? Above all things. God is faithful. Well, that's what I know tonight. I know God is faithful. And he's faithful to us. So let's be encouraged. Let's all stand. We'll pray. Precious Father, we want to thank you tonight for being in church one more time. Father, we want to honor you and we want to glorify you. And we want to bless and lift up your name. Oh, dear God, we want you to have your way. Lord, may we have in our minds and our hearts these strong feelings, Lord, of your work and where we know your heart is, Lord, in this last day. Days when we know the judgment's already looming over the earth, and yet you still want us to work to bring light and let light shine through us. Oh, God, get a hold of us. Lord, get a hold of every one of us. Put these things deep in our heart and our spirit. Oh, God, fill us full of the fire and full of the Holy Ghost and bring a full blessing, Lord, upon us. Now, God, we commit these things to you. And, Lord, we ask you to pour out your spirit and bless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And everyone said, amen. Praise God.